President Trump is hosting an event today about plans to combat violent crime in American cities. It's the latest example of the law and order message he's pushing ahead of the November election. Meanwhile, rival Joe Biden has released new details of his economic recovery plan, and NPR political correspondent Asma Khalid joins us with the latest on the 2020 presidential campaign. Hey, Asma. So Trump has always positioned himself as tough on crime, but now he's using presidential events to get the message out when he can't hold these rallies, and his ad campaigns have turned really dark. Let's listen.
The radical left-wing mob's agenda? Take over our cities, defund the police, pressure more towns to follow, and Joe Biden stands with them, cutting police funding.
So Trump's spending millions crafting a narrative that Democratic-led cities are out of control. How has this strategy been working for him?
Well, to be frank, Tanya, it hasn't been. I mean, look, we're still a little less than 4 months from Election Day, so dynamics could change. But at this point in time, Donald Trump is losing badly in the suburbs. And this is a message that is crafted really to those all-important suburban voters. The suburbs are home to about where 50% of voters live. And Trump won those voters in 2016. At this point, he's losing them to Joe Biden by double digits. You know, one thing I think it's worth pointing out, because I do think, you know, candidates focus a lot on suburban voters. And it's kind of this anachronistic view that the suburbs are a place where folks are kind of fear of the other. And there is a bit of a racial element to this messaging, because the suburbs are increasingly really diverse places. The other thing I think that's worth pointing out is that there is a desire in these messages to instill fear in voters, playing up this threat that Joe Biden is soft on crime. The difficulty for a lot of voters that I've spoken with is that that's an abstract fear when they've got immediate fears right in front of them about the virus and the economy.
And speaking of the virus, the president has renewed his coronavirus briefings. He had one last night. He's often downplayed, as we've been talking about in the show today, the severity of the virus. But yesterday, he talked about it getting worse before it gets better, and he emphasized the importance of masks. He also looked forward to vaccines and remained upbeat on the economy. Let's listen to what he said.
The plague, I call it the plague. The plague came in. Terrible thing. Should have been stopped. Wasn't stopped. It came in. We had to shut things down to save potentially millions of lives. We did that. And now we've started them up. And I think we've really started it up very successfully.
Asma, how has his coronavirus response been part of his reelection message?
The coronavirus response has really not been part of his reelection message at all. You know, he has focused on the economy, and some voters would say that he has neglected the public health side of the problem. He's urged businesses to reopen, schools to reopen. He has been defending his administration's response. But at this point, you know, we're dealing with a situation where a number of states are seeing COVID cases continue to rise. And because the president did downplay the severity for a while, I do think it's a particularly challenging message for him to run on in terms of reelection.
Let's talk about presumptive Democratic nominee Joe Biden. Recently, he's been focusing on an economic message about health care and child care. Let's hear some of his remarks yesterday in Delaware.
This is about easing the squeeze on working families who are raising their kids and caring for aged loved ones at the same time, sometimes separately, but many times together. And it's about creating jobs with better pay and career pathways for caregivers and showing them that dignity and respect that they deserve.
Asma, how does Biden say he'll achieve these goals?
Well, he rolled out a new plan to provide and expand child care and elder care. He's calling for roughly $800 billion investment in that. And this is just one of a series of new economic proposals that he's released in recent weeks. I think what's interesting to me about this is that for many months, in fact, Biden was largely focused on the virus, critiquing how President Trump had handled that. And in recent weeks, we've begun to see a clearer picture of what a, you know, purported Joe Biden presidency would look like in terms of what his own outlined plans to boost manufacturing, you know, increase the number of climate jobs there are, and then this latest plan, which is to expand child care, provide universal pre-K for all 3- and 4-year-olds.
I want to ask you about a running mate. There's been lots of speculation about who Biden may pick. Has he indicated who he favors?
He's asked that question quite a bit, and he has not indicated. He's asked many times, in fact, if he'll choose a black woman in particular, just given the racial protests in this country and the pressure, I think, to have a diverse ticket. And he's been quite clear in saying that he's not going to make any commitments. But in an interview with MSNBC this week, he mentioned that there are four black women on his list.
Mm. Before we let you go, what's your assessment of the overall state of the 2020 race?
You know, at this point, Joe Biden leads in pretty much every poll that you see, and he leads in a number of polls in key battleground states. And I think a lot of Democratic voters will tell me that there's a lot of trepidation when they see those polls because they think back to 2016. But analysts point out that this cycle is really different than 2016 because voters have now seen President Trump as president in action, and they have something to judge him on.
A lot to watch in the next few months. That's NPR political correspondent Asma Khalid. As always, Asma, thank you.
You're welcome.